inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Owning rental properties can go one of two ways. It can either be the easiest thing in the world. If you have great tenants, they pay you rent on time and nothing really comes up, it's really the easiest money you can ever make. On the other hand, if you have a horrible tenant and you have a lot of maintenance stuff coming up constantly, it can be a real nightmare. And Patrick, you've seen both sides of this, right?
We've had just about everything that you can think of happen. Fire, flood, theft.
And he's also had his fair share of bad tenants. And what's great about Patrick's story is he's had so many bad things happen to him as a landlord, but it's all been worth it. And today he's got a great portfolio that is really doing well for him. So on the show today, we're going to talk about some of the bad things that happened and how we overcame them. Joining us on the show today from Fort Wayne, Indiana, is Patrick Gillen. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Patrick. It's a lot of work to find a really good rental property. And when you actually find that property, you want to make sure you're working with a lender that can get that loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you're ready to get started today, just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E LendingGroup.com, NMLS 42056. A good deal on a rental property isn't going to last very long. To win properties today, you need to move quickly when a deal comes on the market, but it takes time to analyze a property. I want to let you know about an app where you can analyze deals on your phone in seconds. It's called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. You can analyze a deal with the push of a button. You can figure out the rent, your mortgage payment, your expenses, and figure out the cash flow. If the numbers make sense, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send a calendar invite to your agent to see the property in person. Ask Rick is currently offering a free 7-day trial. Just search for Ask Rick in the App Store, or go to Just Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, justaskrick.com.
Rental Income Podcast.
Patrick, when you were first starting out buying rentals, you were pretty young. I'm sure you didn't have a lot of money. Was it really stressful at times?
Yeah, it was very stressful. And I would say it caused me to make poor decisions. You know, when you get kind of desperate, you know, somebody shows up with money, you're like, okay, go ahead and move in. And then of course, you know, that always ends badly. For most of the time, I taught school for a couple of years, but for most of the time, I was really trying to make a living doing, you know, being an investor, which is really hard. It was very stressful because, you know, I was kind of dependent on it for income. And then when the income stops, and at the same time, you also have to put money in to clean up and turn a unit, or, you know, have to wait for an eviction to process and stuff like that. Very stressful. I think it's better to, if you're going to, like, for me, if I'd have held on to the teaching gig for a while longer so that I wasn't as dependent on these rents as income, if that makes any sense.
So you were trying to pay all your bills with the rental income back then?
Well, let's say, you know, I was siphoning money off to live on, not entirely. You know, I'm married, my wife has a regular grown-up job, but this was something that really we didn't have a system of, like, just automatically reinvesting or holding back money. We didn't have a big bankroll, and, you know, the cash flow was not really such that we had a good cushion, you know. So every time something bad happened, it was stressful. Every, even little stuff, even just like the littlest thing, was stressful for sure.
Sure. So I guess like the big takeaway from that, if someone is maybe in the same position that you were back then, having an emergency fund, would you say that's like the number one most important thing someone needs to have?
Yeah, I would say, you know, having a bankroll for sure that's dedicated, even if it's just a couple of thousand dollars, to be able to weather the pitfalls when you have a tenant that you need to toss out, when you have very thin margins and somebody says, well, don't kick me out because, you know, I'm going to have the money. I'm getting my tax return or whatever. And you make bad decisions because you're like, gosh, you know, do I hold out for this guy or do I boot him out and have an empty apartment that I have to turn? And so when you're weighing all these decisions, so I'd say I made a ton of poor decisions or waited too long to take action. Or
I guess it's not good to be renting properties when you're desperate, because you are going to be in that situation where if you need money and someone comes around and they have cash, it's hard to turn that away, but you got to think long-term, and you're going to be in such a better spot if you just wait for that perfect tenant to show up.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd say too, sort of a plug, you know, so now I do property management and I manage for other people. And I think it's so good because I'm the firewall for them. People are far too nice. Even people that aren't desperate for the renter are generally far too nice and too susceptible to, you know, oh, so-and-so doesn't have the rent because of this or that. I think the typical human is just empathetic, and you don't want to be the nasty landlord. Mm-hmm. And so I had to kind of learn how to be the firewall. And nowadays, you know, most of the tenants, they don't necessarily know that I'm the owner. I'm just the property manager. I'm just doing my job.
Tenant screening and picking the right tenant is such an important part of being successful as a landlord. Have you gotten better over the years at picking the right people?
Yeah, way, way better. And, you know, I'm far more systematic. I was not systematic about screening and doing the due diligence on qualifying applicants. I would kind of go on instinct, which sometimes was okay and many times was not okay.
So how did you attract a better quality tenant? Like, is it that the condition of the property is better today? Or is there some way?
100%. Yeah. So it's just really difficult to get good renters to go rent a unit that is subpar. It's virtually impossible. You know, the condition of what you have to offer is going to relate 100% directly to the type of tenant that you're going to be able to get. Kind of the professionalism from the moment, you know, the moment I have a unit advertised, I send them to, before I even go show them, I'll show them the property in person, but they have to fill out a form that kind of pre-screens them a little bit. Like, you smoke, have pets, are you looking to move now? Are you looking to move, you know, in 2024, in whatever. So there's a screening process. And then once they kind of, you know, I can look at that and then I'll go show them the apartment. So from the very beginning of my interactions with applicants is more professional. And I think they see that and they know that I'm not just the random mom and pop landlord that they can take advantage of.
Right. And so your initial tenants, were they like just a different, like, I guess, like who were the initial, or what were the tenants like that you were initially renting to?
It was kind of this, almost like the same demographic as far as like age and stuff. it was generally youngish type people and also people of all ages who were just kind of like low income. It's they just needed an affordable apartment. So now, even when I have an affordable unit, like say the studio in this building rents right now for something like $550, well, I will select the most qualified applicant, not just the person who can only afford an apartment that's $550. You know what I mean? I'm gonna choose the most qualified applicant, not simply the one that's all they can afford, if that makes any sense.
Sure. So, all right. So the key to your success, it seems to be that you're selecting a better tenant and you have a better quality property. Like those seem to be like the two big things that you're doing differently today.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I would say our maintenance response is 100% better. The process for the resident, I think they feel like it's more professional. And I think that attracts more professional people who see there's a formality to this, you know, and I think that lends itself to more professional people.
And then the upside to you is that you're making more money because you can charge a higher rent. And then you also, it's just easier to manage. You have a type of tenant that's just going to be easy to manage.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's like a compound effect almost, you know, the nicer the property that you have, the better tenant you can get, which means higher rent you can get, which means the nicer you can make the unit and the better service you can provide to them. All those things, then, you know, the income is better. So then the value of the property is better.
I want to talk about one of your properties in particular that you've had a really tough time with. Before we get into the details, can you tell me a little bit about the property?
Okay, so the property is a four-unit residential building in a neighborhood, probably built in the 1880s, I would guess, right on the north side of downtown Fort Wayne. Again, it's in a residential area, so it was a single family home at one point, probably some kind of, you know, fancy Victorian Queen Anne style home. At this point, it doesn't have a ton of the exterior charm of a Victorian home, but it does have a lot of the cool interior woodwork and stuff.
Okay. So there's four units. How many beds and how many baths in each unit?
So the downstairs is sort of, I market it as a two bedroom, but it's because there's a pocket door and there's sort of, you kind of have options of how you'd want to, it could be either a one bedroom with a lot of extra space or a two bedroom really.
Okay.
So, and it has two entrances, so it can really easily be like a roommate situation. Then above that, we have a proper two bedroom and a studio. And then there's a third floor that has like a Greg Brady apartment, the whole third floor.
Okay. You've owned this property for some time, right?
So we bought it in 2004. And okay. That's when I was about 28.
All right. And so the property at first, you had a lot of trouble with it, but over time you've been able to turn it around. So would you say the property was almost kind of like a problem property at first, but now it's performing great?
Yeah, it's definitely performing great now. I mean, it wasn't a horrible, it wasn't a nightmare. I could think a lot of people that have been doing this a long time have lots of nightmare stories. And there were some, but overall, I can't say it's been a total nightmare. It's really had its ups and downs. It's definitely had a lot of challenges over the years. I mean, but you know, they were all sort of individual, sort of isolated things. You know, we've had big challenges and many small.
Okay. So you've gotten through the challenges, and today the property sounds like it's pretty easy to manage, or a lot easier to manage than it was when you first bought it.
Oh, yeah, totally. So, you know, one bedrooms and studios and two bedrooms, they're generally more management intensity than, say, a single family on the suburbs. But as far as the apartments go, they're way better to manage now. Oh, okay. Way better.
And
it's pretty low intensity.
Really. And the rent that you're getting today, because of the upgrades and I guess with market appreciation, the mm-hmm. the rent that you're getting is way higher than it was when you first bought it.
Yeah, we're getting $28.50 a month
today.
Gross rent.
Okay, and what were you getting when you first bought it?
Definitely under $2,000. I'm going to say, you know, it was in the range of like $1,600, maybe, okay. If all the rents came in.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, let's go through some of the things that have happened to the property and some of the things that you've done to make this a better property. So when you bought the property, with it being a fourplex, were there tenants already living there?
Yeah, that was tough. Inherited tenants, even to this day, you know, I'm still doing a lot of management. To this day, inherited tenants that you get when you buy a property are often a challenge. And in this case, it was really like the inmates were running the asylum.
Over the time that you've owned the property, you've had a couple of fires. How has that, like, so when you have I guess these fires weren't enough to burn the property down, but they were enough to do some damage. So, like, how did that work? Like, you know, I think a lot of people think, oh, you have a fire, you call the insurance company, they just come out and fix it. But I feel like it's not always that easy dealing with the insurance company.
There's nothing easy about it. It's a hard, stressful, complicated process. It's scary. You know, your income stream is cut off entirely. Both times it was condemned. So it was like, it wasn't like we could fix one unit while the others were rented. It was kind of funny. My wife and I it was like a weekend in the summertime. It might've been 4th of July or something, because we were at my brother-in-law's lake place and we were talking about, you know, this rental game is not easy. It's pretty difficult, and we're doing okay. Right. We're doing all right.
Yeah.
And we're having some beers and we're saying, you know, we're doing okay, just as long as we don't have anything like super bad happen, you know. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know, like, famous last words. So, you know, it wasn't until the next morning that I saw my phone. I had a bunch of messages from the tenants and the fire department, and everybody was trying to reach me. And there had been a fire, of all things. Mm. So don't ever say something like,
yeah,
we're doing okay as long as nothing else bad happens, because right, that will ensure right. something. So the process is, you know, you have to help the tenants get their stuff out. I mean, they're kind of on their own. I didn't have a budget to say, okay, we're going to just put you up in a hotel indefinitely. I think we may have helped some people initially. But that was pretty much it for the tenants. Like, okay, you know, we have to basically part ways, because the process of restoration takes the better part of a year almost.
Wow.
So it's not even like, oh, we can just put you up temporarily and then you can come back after a couple of weeks, because it takes way, way longer than that.
When you went into it, did you realize that the property was going to be offline for that long?
No, I really had no idea it was going to take like 8 months.
Yeah.
No idea.
And then does the insurance company give you the contractors? Like, do they kind of take care of everything, or is a lot of it on you to get bids from contractors?
The insurance company that I had was pretty terrible. And one of my tenants actually had renter's insurance. And this kid was actually responsible for the fire. He totally, it's like completely human negligence. But he had some pretty good renter's insurance, and his company came in like the next day and cleared out his apartment completely. They gutted his apartment and put everything out on the front lawn. My adjuster just was, didn't show up for, I think it was about 2 weeks before the guy actually showed up. And, you know, I was calling the company, and my local insurance agent, you know, those guys are really not, they're salespeople. They are really not who's going to hold your hand
right.
in this situation, like the commercial. The insurance company I have now is really good. But the first one was terrible. And, you know, ultimately they say, okay, here's what we're going to give you. And that number, by the way, is somewhat negotiable. If you can show that, you know, look, it's what you're offering me is not going to restore the property. And really it is their job to help you restore the property.
So when you got through everything, when you got the property fixed up, you got everything restored, did you end up better off? Like, was the property in better condition than it was before the fire?
Yeah. You know, this fire, the first one, we actually had two. The first one affected one unit primarily as far as damage. Everything else had to be clean because of smoke and water. But the two-bedroom unit was really the worst. And so it essentially got completely redone. Now, we had a, this is funny, we had a clawfoot tub in the bathroom there. And we went in one day and the tub was gone. And we said, well, what the heck, you know, what's with the iron tub missing? And they said, oh, well, that was damaged. You know, I don't know how an iron, cast iron tub gets damaged when it's like two or three rooms away from
right.
where the fire really was. So that either went to somebody's personal property or it went to the dumpster. I don't know. So we had to go and get a new tub and have it reglazed and all that stuff. It was just kind of dumb stuff like that.
Now, you've also had some other problems at the property. You had your copper pipes stolen at one point.
Yeah, that actually happened while the renovation was happening. The property is condemned, you know, so no one's there. The condemnation poster is basically announcing that, you know, this property is vacant. And this was, right around probably before the 08, but when the economy was like kind of not that great and copper theft was rampant. Mm-hmm. And so somebody got in there and got into the basement and got all the copper piping.
So is that another insurance claim?
You know, I think they did not cover that.
Okay.
And so, you know, when we had the second fire, I was really anxious about having work permits and condemnation sign posted, because you're just like a sitting duck. And, well, there's no more copper in the basement. It's all PEX now. So there's nothing for anybody to get, but somebody can break in. I mean, having a vacant property and advertising it as vacant is the worst move.
We've spent a lot of time today talking about the negative side of owning rental properties, and definitely some bad things can happen. But overall, Patrick is really happy with his portfolio. His properties overall are performing great today. And I think a lot of that has to do with the things that he's figured out over the years and just pushing through the tough times. If anybody owns properties in the Fort Wayne area and you're looking for a great property manager, definitely reach out to Patrick. As you mentioned earlier, he owns a property management company and he'd be happy to talk to you about management. He's also a full-time realtor, and if anyone is interested in investing in Fort Wayne, Patrick would love to connect with you. I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode359. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chailey Ridge at Ridge Lending Group. If you're looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started or you want to add to your portfolio, definitely reach out to Chailey. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs, including her no-doc loan, where she doesn't need bank statements, pay stubs, tax returns. All she needs is a good deal. If you find a great deal on a rental property, she will give you the funding for it. If you want to find out more or you want to set up a time to talk to Chailey personally, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. We'll be back with a new interview next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.